cruising down the street in my 6'4".
Just like that, somebody turned off the rain and the sun come out.
I'm your huckleberry.
Hey everybody, you don't know me, but I'm on TV, so you can trust me.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the This is Tampa podcast with
Rob.
And I'm Jen, and today we have a very special guest, Maureen Femiotto. Yay!
Yes, we're very excited about this one.
Yes, thanks for having me. Yes, thank you for being on our podcast today.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about you and your story.
Okay, well, I've been in the Tampa market since 1996, a couple years.
Just a few.
Love Tampa, love what it offers, love the media that surrounds Tampa Bay and covering the stories. I came down here as a 11 o'clock producer on WFLA on NBC locally. Mm-hmm. I did that for a number of years, moved to the dayside things. In New York though, I guess I should back up a little bit. I was a reporter. I started out as a reporter in the business. I was a reporter for about 10 years. Loved that, loved storytelling, meeting the people, telling their stories. But then I got the story and I was done. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I want to do more. So I moved into the producing of it. You know, crafting from a blank slate, the story of the day, the stories of the day, putting it together. And then that took me around New York, a couple of different markets. And then I wanted sunshine and moved down here in 96 as the 11 o'clock producer at WFLA. And did that for a long time into the morning show, the midday show with the evening newscasts. Loved that, but news, you're limited with time, you know, a couple minutes and then you're done. And I wanted storytelling to go into different lanes.
Right.
Telling stories, news you can use, inspiring people. And in morning show formatting, like on daytime locally on NBC or Great Day Live, where I was executive producer of both, you have that time. You can really tell a person's story and make a difference and share with people. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's good. Yeah. You found your lane, and that's the one you wanted to stick in. And you didn't need to be in front of the camera doing the reporting and everything anymore. You wanted to craft.
It's helping people find their story. They sometimes don't know what their story is.
Right.
And then sharing their story and inspiring people. And sometimes you never know the people that you touch, which is kind of the magic too of television.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was just tons of fun and met so many great people.
Yeah.
A lot of great people.
Well, speaking of that, I know you worked with quite a few celebrities. Tell me about that. What was that like?
Sure. Tons of celebrities come through Tampa Bay. It's a big market, so you know it's a stopping point for a lot of people coming through town. One of the most fun visits I think I was involved with was when Jimmy Fallon was taking over The Tonight Show from Jay Leno. And he made a stop at NBC. It was a lot of behind the scenes getting ready. And he was just so crazy funny, as kind and funny as you'd hope he would be.
Yeah.
And the funny part of that visit was I was coordinating for the daytime show when we had a special show time and all that went into it, that I wanted to have nocturnal animals on the show because he's a late night guy.
Oh, that's pretty clever.
And I was back and forth lots and lots of times with his handler and my Busch Gardens contacts to make that happen. Wow. Well, long story short, it finally happened after a lot, and it was just funny, which one of the items was a 30-foot python that they brought in. 30-foot python.
Oh,
I have photos. It was hilarious. He was kind of like, hey, I mean, it took five people to hold up the snake.
Oh my God.
Handlers, the two hosts, and Jimmy in the middle. Hilarious. Very big, like
they tell you how much it weighed? Like
hundreds of pounds.
Oh, hundreds of pounds.
Gosh.
It was huge.
So it could have eaten any one of you.
It could have squished any one of us.
Oh my
God. Crazy. But fun. And I love the
critters.
You
could have killed Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, no. Well, the funny part was when, I know this is a long story, but at the end of it, it went fine. All the work to get him there, it was fine. It was a great snake. We go to commercial break in theory, and we're getting ready looking at the other end of the studio, and all of a sudden we're like, what was that? It sounded like a pipe burst in the studio. So we all turn around, we're like, what was that? It wasn't the pipe, it was the snake. It was the python's bladder that burst. He went to the bathroom.
No.
Explored the studio.
It was loud?
It was very loud. It sounded like you were dumping 4 gallons of milk on the floor.
Oh,
and then you have to adjust to what that was, and we're like, what? Then there was the odor that followed.
No.
Fallon went running over for the Purell next to our teleprompter. He went rubbing it on, he went putting it under his nose. Oh my goodness.
Oh my.
It was so,
gosh.
So hilarious.
That is so,
it's
what a
long
story.
But it was hilarious.
This wasn't live.
It was, no, it was live to tape, and we weren't recording that part because it was we had faded to black.
Right, right. But imagine, oh my God,
it
was live.
Oh my gosh, it was so hilarious. The audience that we had assembled for it, it's the story that people share, and when it pops up on Facebook now, they're like, I remember, it was so funny.
Oh my gosh, very funny. So funny. That's how genius, though, to get nocturnal animals. Who would have thought?
It was funny.
Right, yeah. Oh my gosh,
wow.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah. So I know you pride yourself on like really digging deep when you interview people and getting the story beneath the story. So tell me how you do that and you know, how does that work out for you typically?
Well, it's really easy to talk to people, Jen, I think, or it should be. And it's not only the conversation that's kind of topical or superficial-ish. Mm-hmm. It's just asking the extra questions, like talking about whatever you're talking about, but going a little bit further, asking that extra question, or so what did you do this weekend? Or like when guests would come to the show or you just meet people, you know, just have a conversation and go a little deeper, care a little more maybe.
Right.
And that sometimes leads to beautiful conversation and engagement that you're like, what do you do with that? You're involved in a charitable component or you just got back from a great event that you just do on the side and it's small because people don't need to know that. No, they do need to know that because that's what makes you different.
Right.
That's your why. Mm-hmm. You need to share your why. Right.
Yeah, you know, and I think speaking to that, like that's why I like about certain podcasts and why I think podcasts have become popular. And the people that do it right, like Joe Rogan. There's a reason why Joe Rogan has like one of the number one podcasts in the country is because he has conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with his guests.
Yeah.
And you never know where it's going to go. He doesn't know where it's going to go. It, you know, they, you got an idea about, like, what things you want to ask. Like, we are here with you. We know what we want to ask and what we want to learn, but what we really want to do is have a conversation.
That's so spot on. And what it is, too, is it's listening. Yeah. You can have an idea, but sometimes you have to throw your script out because then you're on to something new and different that you weren't ready for.
Right.
But that what you're finding and discovering, oh my goodness, you couldn't have prepared for that. Right. And you have to follow that lead.
Yeah.
And that's what I love the producing and I love the crafting and working with people, helping them find their why.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you uncover layers of who they are.
Right.
And it's just a beautiful discovery on both parts.
Mm-hmm. So has there ever been a time when using that skill that you have that you've surprised, you know what I mean, like something that's just totally surprised you or blew you away.
Did somebody like
camera.
Admit to murder or something? Yeah. Like, I mean,
somebody sure that like didn't happen, but hey, you never know.
No, that didn't happen. No, but I think the listening I was covering, and it goes back a number of years, but in New York when I was a reporter, it's again asking the questions and having people feel they can trust you and be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And in covering a trial for a major sports figure, in asking the right questions, I did get some interesting answers that led to different angles of that story and different revelations.
Right.
Because you ask, you probe a little bit, you follow up, and you can get some interesting things.
You give them a couple drinks?
No.
A little vodka?
No.
No.
That's Rob's strategy.
That's my strategy. You know, hey. Get me in a room with Casey Anthony. We'll figure this out.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. That story was crazy and so terrible on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
But in the course of, you know, going out covering a story or reporting or being on the scene, you know, and I know you're being facetious, but it's just in that time that you have, you have to be genuine in that time that you have. And you can't go in with your scripted questions and just go, okay, I'm getting my job done. Question. Anything else? Okay, thanks. Bye. You're never going to get anything.
Right.
Different story if we have a moment.
Yeah.
We had a celebrity on our show, and it wasn't me asking the questions, but it was me in the booth listening and saying, we've got to do something with what he's sharing. Tony Little, the exercise guru.
Mm-hmm.
He's based in Tampa Bay. He's the long-haired ponytail guy who's been in infomercials forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
He was on talking about a new item, and he was just a fun guy. So we were doing the interview based on what we were planning on and having the conversation. Well, during that conversation, his wife had just had babies, twins, I believe it was, too.
Oh, gosh. God bless them.
And this was a number of years ago. Well, the twins had complications at birth and were like in the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was opening, we weren't going anywhere near that part of the conversation, but he was opening up that he was going through a little bit of a challenging time and he was, you know, praying and you know, hoping for the best, but it was a struggle. And you know, this big infomercial kingpin was sharing that and opening up. That was a beautiful moment where we could have just planned with our script and said, thanks for joining us, you know, for more information we'll be right back. But instead I'm like, oh no, we need to keep going with that, because he was willing to share.
Yeah.
So I would do something like, okay, hosts, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna say, because their time is always so tight on time, they have to go to their next event and things. I said, ask, because there are two hosts. I said, ask him if he can stick around for a little bit longer because he's on a tight schedule. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I would say, if you're willing to ask a couple of extra questions, like the host on the spot, you know, put your hand on your knee, because if they're not ready and they can't ask the questions and I can't necessarily feed them all the questions, I can feed a lot, but you know, it's just back and forth that way.
Speaking of that, like, how do you feed it?
In the IFB.
They got it. Your piece?
In the IFB. So it was like a complicated dynamic, but he was willing to, we asked a question, he was willing to stay, great. We go to, you know, essentially a commercial break, and we come back, we ask additional questions. I think I gave them some from their heart. They asked some too, but it was just a beautiful extra interview that we all have struggles, celebrity or not.
Right.
And it was just a genuine sharing of what he was going through with his little peanuts. Yeah. So it was just a nice conversation that wasn't anywhere on what we were going to talk about originally.
Wow.
But you have to be open to listen and know what to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, and that probably helped a lot of people.
You know, like, really all I know is, like, from the newsroom is that TV show that was on HBO, like, the newsroom.
Right.
Did you ever see that show?
Yeah. Yes.
Which I like. But she's, like, the producer doing what you did, I guess, you know, would be in the window and holding up, like, a sign.
Cue card.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, talk about this
right
now.
And we can't do that necessarily. You could do that if you had time. But it's the IFB, which is the beautiful thing, you know, talking from a control room to the host on the set, asking an additional question or giving probing answers, which I've done that, you know, over the years for the different hosts I've worked with, just because you're paying attention to that moment,
right?
And letting it breathe, or being willing to help them expand, because.
Well, I guess that's like why the producer's needed, because you're kind of looking at it from an outside
perspective,
you know, something that maybe in the moment the reporter isn't going to necessarily think about, and that's what was happening in that situation.
Right. It's a teamwork, so we're all in it together to get the best interview we can. If we all have to help each other,
right?
So you're absolutely right. I'm looking at it from a different perspective. They're just thinking of the next question, or they know they're going to have to wrap. But I'm thinking, we're not going to wrap. We're going to kill a different segment because that's not essential today. So I'm doing all the back scene stuff to make it work. For the beauty of what it could be, to help other people think,
right,
I'm not alone in a situation of struggling with children who have some issues at the moment, but they'll get through it.
Right.
Believing you can. So it's those sorts of stories.
Wow.
Yeah. What an awesome. You're like, we got some gold here. Yeah. Like, let's roll with it. Keep it going.
So I think you said you had a story that went viral. Is that right?
I did. It was pretty funny.
Okay, well, tell us about that. Right?
So this was...
Was it a kitten video?
It was a whale video.
A whale?
A whale video. Killer whales. And this was a funny beginning of the conversation. Like, what makes a story? How do you know if a story is worthy? You know, all of that sort of thing. And it was somebody visiting our studio for an interview. And she kind of pulled me aside. She was there watching her daughter, who was on a quick visit for Girl Scout cookie time. And I said, well, you just kind of know, and you just kind of ask the questions to see if it's worth following up, you know, that sort of thing. I couldn't spend a whole lot of time with her because we had a full studio. Mm-hmm. But I said, well, give me your card, and what exactly is it? She's like, well, we were on vacation and we came across a pod of, drumroll, killer whales.
What?
And it was crazy, and they were really close, and we have video. I'm like, sure you do.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, okay, well, give me your card, and I'll reach back out, and we'll see what could come, you know, of it, if there's anything. It took me a little bit to get back to her because there were other emergencies or things that I had to tend to. So I got back to her literally a couple weeks later. So it was in my little note card area where I keep these cards that I need to follow up on. I'm like, hi, we talked. You said, do you have video? Did it really happen? So yeah, send me the video. So she sent me the video. I'm like, what? It was crazy great. They were on vacation diving in Mexico. I think it was Mexico or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
It had happened a year and a half before. They didn't know what to do with the video. And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. And if they're on the boat and there's the killer whales, it was probably 8 feet away in the wake, like dolphins are behind the wake of a boat. But in place of the dolphin was killer whales, a pod of like three. What? Magic video. So I said, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. And people love positive stories. And who doesn't love animal stories?
Right.
And here's what we're going to do. So I'm going to have you on the show and get ready, buckle up, because I think this is going to go viral. They're like, really? I'm like, uh-huh. So they came in. We talked about the story of them going on vacation and then da 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 da. And then a second part where jackpot, these killer whales wanted their 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, my gosh.
So it blew up.
Wow.
NBC used it in my my station, my shop. They shared it. CNN used it. Today's Show used it. Ellen used it. National Geographic South Africa used it. They wanted to hire me as like their manager because they didn't know how to field all the interview requests. I'm like, I have a job. I can't leave my job. But it was just fun guiding them, having fun with it. And if you Google Lutz Family Killer Whale Encounter, you'll find it in different fashions.
Oh my gosh.
And you'll see all the different lanes of watches. I mean, it's upwards of more than 15 million views.
No.
It's more, much more than that. And this was a number of years ago. So
it
was just fun, and people needed fun at that time. You know, you need to be positive. Take you away from the daily silliness of negativity and just a positive engagement. Then one thing further was, she had said, Jack Hanna, eat your heart out from like Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
So back to my Busch Gardens people. I contacted a friend over there and I said, okay, when's the next time he's coming? Can we come over and show him this video? Is it unusual? Is it just we haven't seen a lot of it? I don't know. That coordination, we got them together.
Uh-huh.
He saw it. He said, is this face photoshopped? Joking, because he was just trying to be funny.
Right.
He had never seen anything like that in all of his engagements around the world.
Oh,
so it truly was unique. And it was just super fun.
It's crazy, like stuff like that that does go viral. That, you know, I think I saw you one where a killer whale was attacking a great white, which was
gosh.
You saw that. It's that's pretty insane.
Right.
Did you guys ever have like the lawn care people come right outside your studio when you were doing a news report?
The reason
I ask is because like I don't know if this is going to be on the video or you're going to be able to pick it up on the mics, but they just decided to like mow the lawn right outside the doors here,
right next to where we're recording.
You know,
the show must go on, right?
Yeah, it was real quiet all morning until like we started recording, then all of a sudden everything's going on, so just in case,
very you know,
it's not our fault.
Tampa lawn care in the background.
But, has anybody now, like I'm sure people have tried to send you stuff, you know, throughout time. Like, how about UFO stories? Like, anybody trying to say they have proof of aliens or UFOs or?
That's a good question.
Never had that, but the you know, the balloon boy story was a crazy story. Remember that from a couple years ago, the balloon boy story?
The balloon boy?
Where the family had this big balloon thing, and then it went viral because one of the dads thought one of the little ones was in it.
Right.
Remember that story that was crazy from like the West?
Oh my gosh.
And that went viral because, oh my golly, this balloon is floating. Like, it almost looked like a Jiffy Pop container, popcorn.
And they thought the kid was in
it. They thought the kid was in it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that blew up. That was nothing that we did. That family ended up making rounds in Tampa Bay eventually. I had them on the show. We had them on the show. I don't know if I booked that one or not, but it was interesting, their story and sharing it. And it's coming up on an anniversary. I just saw them on one of the network shows describing that scene and where they are now. So that was crazy. No UFOs though.
Really? No UFOs. I'm surprised. Mm-mm. I thought,
oh my God.
Well, Tampa's free of UFOs, I guess.
Hopefully so.
There's none
here.
Who's
contacting me anyway?
Well, kind of going off that, what's like one of the most memorable moments of your career, whether it be something you experienced or a new story or even, you know, one or the other?
So many. The people that I've met over the years are just, can be so amazing. And celebrities are super cool and super fun and everybody wants to see the pictures and things. I think my best takeaway, though, is the non-celebrity and the power of the medium that we're in that can make a difference. Real quick story. Mm. You get pitched in television news all the time for different stories, and you've got to make it visual and entertaining and engaging. And I got a pitch about a new autism therapy, which was necessary, but it wasn't visual at that time. Right. So I said, oh, I think it's important, but what can we do to make it visual and a good takeaway for the viewer? Because that's what I'm producing for, is the viewers at home. So I said, how about this? How about, because they were just offering the therapist to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I said, how about you find somebody who's used that therapy and maybe their child and how they've benefited from that therapy? Because then that would be a better takeaway from a viewer. Mm-hmm. So see if you can get that. I'm asking a lot, but see if you can find that. A couple, I think more than a week or two went by. They then found a parent who had been utilizing that therapy. Aww. And they found a little peanut who was about a two-year-old boy who was fixated on doorknobs. And and that's where they knew something was a little off. Mm-hmm. But the therapy helped him broaden his visual capacity, if you will, to engage with more than just the fixation and grow and learn and adapt more. And I said, okay, that's a better takeaway. Mm-hmm. So the mom will come in, the therapist will come in, the little boy will come in, we'll let him wander around the studio, we'll get a camera fixated on him and show video because they had captured it of the little doorknob.
Yeah.
So the story, all that crafting, it's what goes on behind the scenes. We shared that interview on the show and I was pleased with how it all came together. And the little boy was super cute, walking around the studio. We were capturing it, sharing it. It was really brave of the mom to share that with us.
Yeah, for sure.
And the beauty was, the next step was, we wrapped, we were done. I go back to my office, check the voicemails, and a dad had left a message. Oh. A viewer had left a message.
Oh my gosh.
To say that he had been watching that day, and the mannerisms that that little boy showed reflected what he was going through with his little boy.
Wow.
And he was going to share that story with his wife when she got home from school or work or whatever, to say that maybe they did need to have that conversation with a pediatrician. You know, you don't want to go down that path because nothing's wrong. It's just a phase.
Right.
But that story, mm-hmm, from that phone call changed a life. It mattered.
Yeah, that's life changing.
That's my Super Bowl moment.
Oh my gosh.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool. But something like tells me as we're talking, and it seems like one of the things that made you have the decision to do like daytime, it wasn't just the creativeness, but it seems like you're attracted to more positive stories
all day long.
Like
all
you don't want to be with the, like talking about the negative stuff on nightly news or whatever, that you want to be involved in the positivity. I think that's what I'm getting. I don't know.
It's so true. It's spot on. Life is short. We have lots of chances, we have lots of things that we can do, but we have to help each other learn, grow, adapt, say hello to people, make a difference, be positive. It's not hard.
No,
it really shouldn't be hard. It seems like sometimes it's hard. I don't know
somebody
why.
Somebody holds the door for you, say thank you.
Absolutely. Well,
hold the door first, mm-hmm, you know. And
yeah, but absolutely.
It's just simple things like that.
Go a long way.
Yeah.
Go a long way. Positivity so matters.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where does that outlook come from? For you personally?
I don't know. I've always been a positive person.
Comes from Ithaca College, right?
Shout out to Ithaca. Shout out to my alma mater. Thanks, Rob. I don't know. It's just, it's just, you know, and you know the joy that you get by somebody appreciating a hello or, mm-hmm, an acknowledgement.
Right.
It doesn't even matter. Like, it doesn't count, I guess is my better word. That shouldn't even count. That should just be a given.
Right.
But
you should just do that.
You should just do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then when you hear different people appreciating something that might have been done, you're like, wait, what? I don't even remember that. Like, that doesn't even matter. Like, that doesn't even count. It's, mm-hmm, the bigger things. But in a production or in doing what I would do as an executive producer, it's picking the stories that matter. Picking the stories that can make a difference or change lives. Mm-hmm. That matters. And sometimes you don't even know, you don't even get that call, but you know in your gut, I think it's gonna help somebody.
Right. Wow.
That's the beauty of what we can do. And what you guys do too on your podcast, you share different stories. And different. You are though, but you're sharing different stories about Tampa Bay. What people need to know, go try it out. Mm-hmm. The different business people, different people in the community, mm-hmm, that's beautiful. It's collectively joining people that may not know each other,
right,
and then introducing them. They then check out a new spot. It becomes their favorite spot. Mm-hmm. You're bridging the connectivity.
Maybe, right, they meet their soulmate there.
They, oh, definitely could.
Oh my gosh,
right.
Hey, now we're starting marriages here.
Yeah, see?
Right.
Matt's making right over here.
Yep, this is Tampa.
Well,
you never know.
That's right. You don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I know you've had a long health journey personally. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And have you been able to use that to inspire others as well?
Yes. During the excitement of all the TV world stuff, something happened. And that something was colon cancer.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, what? Me? Huh? This was 2010, and I'm busy, kids, juggle, sports, work, never stop. It's not in my DNA. Well, I took a little bit of time to pay attention. And then when I did pay attention, Houston, we have a problem.
Wow.
And it was surgery, and then after that, I thought I was done, and that was really exciting, and okay, I'm slowing down because... Well, then it was stage 3 cancer,
colon cancer.
And you need to figure out your next step because it was in the lymph nodes. What? So that was then my decision to go to an aggressive therapy to figure out how I'm going to do it. My kids were young. Yeah. I'm young. I got a lot to do.
Right.
So then I did chemotherapy and radiation.
To do that here at Moffitt?
I did. Yeah. And that was a crazy journey of... reflecting and the journey and what people just being really kind.
Right. What yeah. was you were working at the time? Were you yep. still at the yep. TV station?
I remember telling my supervisor at the time, like, something's happening, and he was just incredible, being supportive, saying, "Take care of that. Don't worry about it." And I was like, "No, I've got to take care of my job. I'm always a taker carer.
Right.
That's just how I am." So to pause and like focus on something other than everything else, it was just hard for me, but I had to live.
Right.
And then again, to get through the next phase, which ended up being a whole year's worth of excitement and taking time off in between because I had to slow down because it slowed me down. The chemotherapy, the radiation, but the kindness of people providing my family meals for months at a time. Are you kidding me?
Aww.
Are you kidding me? And I would tell my family every night that somebody new would be bringing food over. We are so blessed.
Right.
That doesn't happen to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I would write thank you notes to the people because it just mattered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then being aware if somebody else needs it, you need to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's appreciating the little things. It matters. And I said, I guess we did something okay because people are doing this.
Right.
So I'm so extremely thankful.
Yeah.
But learn from this. And then the second round of excitement a couple of years back when I had a scare again and a new phase of excitement. And I guess it just shows you that life is a gift. Every day, every moment, every meeting, everything that I already appreciated it, but I appreciate it in a different level now. Mm-hmm. And making a difference in positivity matters.
Right.
And I'm still here mm-hmm. for a reason.
Right, and that's...
Because I need to
point
tell
number
people
one. Yeah.
to go get checked
You're still
out.
Here.
Don't ignore a sign. If you have questions, ask. And I know I became my own advocate because of my journalism background. I ask a lot of questions. My family hates it. They're like, oh my God, goodness, here she goes again.
Oh,
but
Mom.
In that role, I had to be my own advocate
right.
and ask the questions.
Right.
And even asking questions of surgeons, not me not disregarding their information,
right?
But I needed more information to make that decision that affected my life.
Exactly.
So there are no sorries. There's just information to get me to where I need to be.
Well, I know, like, I'm sure, like, your family was supportive and they helped you get through, and friends, and like you said, people
Absolutely.
Bringing you food and everything. But was there anything else that you, like, clinged on to that, like, helped you get through it? Like, did you pick up anything, like, hobbies or just something that kind of got you through that time?
No hobby. It was my faith, my belief that take one day at a time. I had to slow down, which was hard for me, but I had to because I had to. And it was just taking one day at a time. It really was. There was no extra. I watched more TV, even in the TV business. You know, you don't really watch that much TV. You kind of flip and find, you know, information. You're always searching. But I was, you know, at home or in the chemo chair at Moffitt, stagnant for 4 hours.
But it wasn't like books or anything, like motivational stuff or
some motivational,
maybe religious or
But it was just more enjoying some solitude, I guess. Just taking time to be present and being present. Being really appreciative, being really reflective of the different people that were willing to help, care, reach out. I think it was that.
Yeah.
And it was a little, not soul-searchy, because I think I was that way before, but just being uber, uber appreciative. And then when I would go to Moffitt for the chemotherapy, sometimes it was funny. I would wear, you know, fun colors, and you know, you have to make the best of a 4-hour window of getting your chemotherapy. Sometimes I would be talking to people getting ready to go for the treatment, and they would be talking to me, and I'd be talking to them, and they'd be like, oh, you know, she seems pretty, you know, fun. And then they'd look down and see my medical bracelet, and there would be like an utter, like,
like a pause.
Like, it's her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we thought she was waiting for the relative coming out from getting blood drawn or something. And I would see this. And they, and I would have to like help them through that moment. Like,
oh gosh.
Like, it's me.
And
they were, and I'm like, what does cancer look like?
Yeah.
There's no way to, there's no definition. It's anybody. And then because they thought, could see that I was okay with the journey that we were both in together, probably, they would sometimes like want to be next to me in the chemo chair. Like, it was like a deli number. Like, I'm gonna be next to her. But it was just like, we have to help each other out in this journey. If I found something that helped me through the nauseousness or the fatigue, share it, talk to people. You know, don't be, you know, closed off and angry, because well, that's not going to help
me. I think it's the moments alone, and that's what I'm thinking about. You know, I mean, you got the friends and the family and the people that are there, like, you know, I think a lot of people struggle in those moments alone when they are alone. And your own thoughts, you know, are the enemy.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, like, how do you occupy yourself or get through that?
I think I think, and that's a really good question. And I think now, as I look back, I'm in the process of kind of reflecting on a project I'm working on, actually writing a book, that it's taking me back. And when you're in the cancer journey, you think that life will never be different because you're in this journey. Well, now that I'm past that journey, I've forgotten a lot of that journey, which you would never think you would, because it's such a big journey.
Right.
But then you go, you change your, you know, you hopefully beat it, you move on, you get new experiences, then it becomes, it fades. So now reflecting back to this question, Rob, good question, it was just more finding my faith, finding the strength to continue on, filling my days with a little journaling. I did some videos, quite honestly, because even before I went in and I wrote a, like, not a goodbye letter, but I like, am a big planner. I would take care of business. So if it ended, I knew I had said goodbye in a letter. I'd say goodbye in video.
Oh my gosh.
So that my kids would have that.
Right.
And I have those videos because I wanted to have it all taken care of. I didn't want to leave anything unsaid, untapped. So the silence was me reflecting on taking day by day. It ended up being that, which I didn't think I was going to have to, because I'm Maureen, I can do it. And then it was more like, I just need to pause. And the radiation kicked my butt much more than the than the chemotherapy.
Oh, really?
With the chemotherapy, I lost a bit of weight. I never threw up, because I just didn't eat. With the radiation, which I had to take off bits of time with each journey of this phases, radiation was very, very fatiguing for me, which is never the case with me. Like, keep up, because you're not going to be able to keep up. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
I was like going, I would call it getting zapped at Moffitt. I would make a morning appointment, then I would go to work, and then I would come home at the end of the day. Well, that didn't last very long, because it just, it took its toll early. So then I'm like, okay, you offered it, but now I need to take that time off because it's kicking the butt. And I would get to Moffitt, get zapped, as I would call it, and then I would get back home, and I would just be in my living room on the couch.
Oh my goodness.
Because I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
You just, it just put you out, sounds
it
like.
It did. Oh, and it was 28 days straight of radiation.
Wow.
Yeah, that was quite fatiguing.
And now, that, I mean, I know it's a different cancer, but this is similar to something like Alex Trebek is going through now. Like, he's got, he does that type of treatment too, right? Radiation?
He, I believe, does. I mean, he's being so brave with his journey, you know, coming out with his prostate cancer, I believe stage four when he was first diagnosed a number of, I keep saying that same phrase, but a bunch of months ago now. Mm-hmm. I think he was very brave sharing with Good Morning America when he said that he didn't realize the depression that was going to accompany his treatment plan. I thought that was extremely brave and very, I applaud him because it affects everybody differently. There's no right or wrong way to get through it. You just got to get through it.
But I think a lot of people, you know, they do go to a dark place, you know.
They do.
I'm sure.
They do. I didn't because I just motored through.
Yeah.
I think his bravery sharing was amazing. And then now he has had a little bit of a setback and he's back to work. But now I believe he has a wig. He has a hairpiece, and he's just sharing along the way. And I've heard something recently that he wishes he had pulled back a little bit, because now he's so out in the open and it was going so well, but now there's the little hiccup.
He says he's starting to struggle, like during the show, and like, you know, vocally and everything.
Right, and it's just, you know, it's cancer affects people different ways. It can affect people at different times, and everybody has to know that. There's no right or wrong way to get through it. It's your way to get through it. Mm-hmm. And no one can tell you how to do it. He's being so brave by hopefully having people go get the tests, go in and ask the questions. You know, he's just doing such a great service for so many people who think they're untouchable, because we all do until it happens to you.
Oh, yeah. But, or if you're going through it and that, you know, like seeing you now, there is another side, you know, there is an end in sight. There is, you know,
yeah,
coming
so
out the other
ask,
side of it.
How are you doing now? And going off of that, what are you up to now in
what's
general?
The future? Yeah,
you know, like, what's the future for you?
You're right, because now I am on the other side of it, and I would peripherally see some of my friends' my kids' friends at like the ball game see me, and like I could feel them staring. So I'd kind of turn around, and they'd be like, and I'm thinking, to me, that was what cancer looked like then. Now, this is what cancer looks like now. So maybe their takeaway could be, it could be, she did it. Somehow she got through it and she didn't seem so bad during it. That would be my hope to share, because it's a journey. There's no right or wrong. That's how I did it. My takeaway and my sharing, and I tell people all the time, if you know, you have somebody that you know, who I know, that I could help or give some clarity to or guidance or ask these questions, I do. Because somehow I'm still here. I'm here to share, or I'm here to guide, or I'm here, you know, that sort of thing. We all have to help each other. Everybody has an it. That just happened to be my it. And I am still here, even after a hiccup.
And you're here with us, which is makes me happy.
I know, thanks. And so what are you up to now? What is this future like for Maureen?
What do you got going on? What's in the works?
Well, I do have my own media company. I am working with people to kind of get to their whys. What is your why? What's your business? What do you do? What are you doing for it to get people to know you? Have you tried this? You know, do you share that part of your story? Maybe you don't, and that's what you should do. Being on the receiving end of pitches, being working with people, thousands and thousands of guests over the years. Sometimes people don't know how to utilize the media, how to get attention, how do you do that. So that's fun to do. Media coaching, crafting, helping people get placements. It's just that sort of lane.
Yeah.
But it's the positivity, Rob. It goes back to that, because everybody makes, you know, I think making a difference is important, and helping people find ways to get their presence out there.
How about, is any chance of going back into the producer role or getting back into TV in any fashion?
Maybe. That's in my blood. I love creating. I love crafting. And if I know a project at the end of the day could do that and make a difference, absolutely. I don't think I could give that up. Even working with people on little segments for television or coaching them to get on, I'm still in that lane of doing it. But I wouldn't say that's necessarily off the table, because of just my passion of taking projects to the next level, or being involved in projects, or working with people, collaborating to help move that needle.
That's awesome.
Like a consultant level, even, you know, something
so
like that.
How can people, if someone's interested in media coaching or any of the the tools that you offer people, how can they get in contact with you?
Thanks, Jen.
Sure.
They could, you know, I'm on Facebook. Who isn't, right?
Yes.
Facebook, what's that?
My name, Maureen Famiano, or the media company, MEFmedia.com.
MEFmedia.com. Well, we will make sure to link that in the Facebook page and our YouTube page and our Instagram page. Do you have an Instagram page too?
I do.
Okay. And what is that one?
It's the MEF_media.
MEF_media. Okay, perfect. We'll make sure to link to that.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, I've got a little lightning. Oh, yeah. Were you going
to
say something?
I wanted to mention something that you didn't brag about, but I read something that about the top 8 women influencers in Tampa.
Oh my gosh.
2018. Is that?
What's
that about?
The Penny Hoarder, which is a phenomenal. Oh my golly. I had them on the show. I worked with them a little bit, and they're a great company that works to helping people save money and being frugal and, you know, spending money wisely.
Right.
That they asked if I would take part in something. They asked to do a profile piece on me. So they did it, and it was very nice. I was, you know,
well, you were among in there with some, yeah,
some with some high. Really talented, amazing local ladies in Tampa Bay. So that was quite an honor and just super sweet. And that was nice. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that was impressive. Well, very impressive.
Wow. Thank you. That was just super sweet.
Yeah. Well, I've got a quick little lightning round for you.
Okay.
So hopefully we don't throw you off too much.
All right. Here I go. Here I go.
All right. Ready? Uh-oh. Bucks, Lightning, or Rays?
Lightning.
Okay. Tampa or St. Pete?
Tampa.
North Tampa or South Tampa?
North Tampa.
All right. Here we go. These might throw you. Favorite pizza spot in Tampa?
Jets Pizza.
Ooh. Whoa. That's a good one. We just had them on the podcast. Favorite dessert in Tampa?
Anything from Dats.
Good one. Favorite steak place in Tampa?
Burns. Burns is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Or Council Oaks.
Yeah. Council Oaks. There you go.
Crazy.
Yeah, they're always real good.
Crazy.
Favorite burger in Tampa?
Burger 21.
Good. What's your favorite burger there? I know they have a variety.
I'm kind of old school basic. Mm. Just, you know, the patty. I like the cheese. Mm-hmm. I'm a mustard girl.
Yeah. Love
that's,
it.
That's, yeah, from Central New York.
That's a New York thing.
That's how we do it.
Favorite charity in Tampa?
I'm kind of just been exposed to both the Heels to Heal project, which works with domestic violence issues, which is phenomenal, and then the Affirmations mm-hmm. project, which is just beautiful, helping women through the journey of breast cancer getting through that. And it's just amazing. Yeah. Both are amazing charities that are growing in awareness.
Wow, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, last one. Favorite podcast in Tampa?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Let's Talk Tampa.
This is Tampa.
This is Tampa.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
talk it. This is Tampa.
Woo-hoo.
This is Tampa. Let's talk about Tampa.
I love it. Oh my God. Hey, you did pretty good on the lightning round questions there. So.
Yikes.
Thanks for participating.
Thanks for throwing me. No.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for telling us your story as well and sharing, you know, some struggles, and hopefully we're able to inspire some people with your story and, you know.
Well, I think that's the beauty of podcasts. I think so many can really change the needle, make people think wherever they are, pay attention, ask the extra questions, make the phone call, and get answers they may not want to, but now they're on a path to some clarity, some help. Mm-hmm. That's important. And you guys are doing a great job exposing people to different things that they should be knowing about. That's awesome.
Yeah. Aww. It's just long form media, you're able to do that, but there's so many people got, you know, busy lives, it's hard for them to sometimes, you know, make time for it.
But you make an appointment podcast, appointment TV.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is Tampa is all about where we live and grow and connect. Mm-hmm. So, and the beauty of it is you can, you know, as you're driving around, you put it on, you play it, you know, you get the link, you play it. Yep. So it's not like it's taking you away from something, because you can do that when you go. And that's the beauty of that. I mean, so much has happened in the media world, which is embracing it and being aware of it.
Yeah.
Find out, people. This is Tampa.
That's right.
Well,
find out.
Speaking of the media world, every week we do a non-Florida man story. I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I let Rob find those.
Non-Florida man.
He always finds the best ones. So what have we got today?
Because we're always getting this Florida man. So I got to prove that it's not Florida man. It's all over, man.
There you go.
You know, I heard it again this morning on the radio on the way in. Dave and Chuck the Freak were talking about Florida man, of course.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, it's such an easy target. Whatever.
Everything happens but, in Florida.
Yeah, we had a non-Florida man story. Hopefully, let me see if it plays. Then I won't have to read it. Of course.
Gotta watch the commercial.
Now, anyway, a Missouri man believed to have robbed a laundromat was caught on camera. Now, this is out of Missouri. Okay. Sporting a t-shirt that read, "It's not a crime unless you get caught." Okay, oh, so they got pictures of the guy.
You can't make this stuff
I'll have
up.
To post this, yeah. So it looks like, I don't know, it looks like the, I don't know, the West Coast Choppers, what do you call that cross?
The
Iron Cross or whatever that
is. Those motorcycle riders all wear it.
Yeah, and on the back, that's what it says right across the back. It's not a crime if you don't get caught. He stole $600 out of a vending machine at the laundromat. They say it weighed about 15 pounds worth of change.
Oh, God.
Plus, he caused $1,300 damage to the vending machine.
What? Oh,
but, wow. Yeah, it looks like this guy is going to get caught.
He is. He has a billboard. What's the
he's
irony?
Yeah, they got some pretty good pictures of him. He's got tattoos all around his neck, you know, sleeve tattoos. So there's some pretty identifying marks, even if he isn't wearing this t-shirt at the time. But
right.
There's probably not a lot of guys running around with that t-shirt that are actually robbing places.
Yeah. What's the irony that he's wearing that shirt while he's committing a crime?
Right. He thought it was like an invisible cloak. Like,
right.
Well, this shirt will protect me.
Yeah. It's like the silly criminal, like, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
And you're on camera. Like, you didn't, like, oh. I'm glad the camera was rolling because it's just silly. But they got to catch him.
Yeah.
Dope. That's a good word.
Dope. I like
yeah,
that.
What a dope. You knucklehead.
God. That's definitely a non-Florida man story.
Yeah, that's a Missouri man story.
Oh, my God. Missouri. That's the first one for the Midwest, I think, we've got. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, Missouri.
Right.
I'm going to chase it down. I want to find out, like, who's selling these t-shirts.
Yeah. Maybe we should make some podcast ones.
Well, I'm sure the crime lab or whatever, they're running down this. They're
absolutely.
Probably like.
Right.
You know,
who bought
like,
them? In the
who bought them?
Same
well,
area.
You know, yeah, 10 guys in the whole country bought this shirt, and there's one from Missouri.
There he is.
And there he is.
Oh, my God.
Bingo.
Well, speaking of news stories, I know we've got a pretty interesting main topic with Maureen here today. We're going to be talking about big local news stories in the Tampa area.
Yeah, maybe some of the stuff that's come out. Maybe some stuff that you covered. You know, I think when I started, like, researching this, one of the biggest ones was the bridge collapse, and that was kind of before all of our time being here, but I'm sure a lot of people from Tampa do remember that.
Oh, that was such a...
I believe like 39 people died.
Bridges always, depending upon your, you know, your sensitivity, bridges can make people a little nerve-wracked or not.
Right.
So the fact that on a given day, years ago, these motorists were driving on... It was a Sunshine Skyway, and then, you know, because of the container hitting the bridge and collapsing it, they drove off the bridge. Ugh. Oh my goodness.
I can't imagine.
I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, the impact that had on Tampa Bay and around the world really was just so far-reaching, and then the anniversaries that come up each year afterwards, and then rebuilding and, you know, vessels and I believe it was a foggy morning that day when it happened. And just, oh my goodness.
Like a freighter that ran into it. And
I mean,
it was foggy. Actually, like when you bring up the news story, they do have a news story, and you see the live footage as they're pulling, you know, cars out and stuff, it's still foggy.
Thick fog.
Oh,
right.
Wow, you're right, yeah.
And it's just, those sorts of stories, I guess, from coverage standpoint, you know, you go into a morning
an average day in the news business, for example. And I wasn't here, none of us were here then, but those are sorts of days that, you know, everything changes.
Right.
Because you hear on the scanner or you get a call that something just happened, and then everybody, all the attention is put on a story like that, mm-hmm. covering it from all angles. You know, what happened? Is anybody hurt? Like, you don't know.
Right, you're still getting facts.
Right, and then of course people are hurt, but you don't know. You're hoping no.
Right.
And then, you know, there's so many levels, so many angles, and then it's not a story that's over with. It continues on for days, weeks, months.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rebuilding. And then, you know, the discussion of the ships, the transportation, the bridge, the safety, all of that. People having to change their transportation mm-hmm. as they go to and from work, because now that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of that. It's that crazy story. And then the year anniversaries, the big year anniversaries that come years later, that sort of thing.
Oh my gosh.
Terrible, right. Terrible.
That was awful. Yeah.
There's
so
a,
awful.
Is there any that stand out in your mind that you remember?
Well, that sinkhole, the music fell in the sinkhole, that was awful.
I think that like made everybody kind of
I don't know.
Walk a little like on their toes a little.
Well, and that was just such a horrible, horrible, horrible mm-hmm. story that friends from all over the country would ask, how close is that to you?
Right.
You know how everybody always asks, where do you live?
And
how is your... I mean, that poor family. There are sinkholes. We have the soft earth, that there are new sinkholes popping up even today, you know, this week, last week. You know, you always, and we were talking, Rob, before the show, I hear a funny noise with pipes. I'm like, you know, you're just always aware.
Yeah, I know.
And that poor, tragic, tragic story, family, man.
Awful. He was just sleep. I think he was just sleeping in his bed, right?
Yeah.
Just,
he was
yeah.
in his bed and they never found it, never recovered his body.
Oh my God.
I mean,
I'm kind of like, I kind of hope that like he just like split, like he wasn't even in bed. Like that he snuck out the window or something and went to like Mexico or something.
Oh, he's got a new
like he had to go hide from, from a bad girlfriend or something. I don't know.
Bad girl.
But
oh no.
You know, I just say, hopefully, like,
I know.
Because how do you not find him after all this time? Like, even at that time.
Well, and the earth is such a mysterious thing.
Right.
You know, even, you know, looking at sand and, you know, trying to grab something, the way the earth moves and the earth, I mean, it's just, I don't understand. That's not what I do. But
it's
so
terrifying.
Freaky
and
scary, and you don't want to go there.
Uh-huh.
But there are so many new holes that are cropping up.
I know.
Give no warning.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's
like
awful.
Especially like if it's happened to you you know, because people can't get in back in their house. Like if it happens, you know, your neighbors or anywhere, whatever, you know, it happens to your house, that's a bad day.
Yeah.
It's a horrible day. And all your prized possessions are in there. And that's where they stay, maybe, until they can maybe firm it up or, you know, whatever the case is.
Yeah, oh, it's just awful. It's so sad.
Terrible.
Oh, my gosh. What about you? Any stories that stick out in your mind, Rob?
Well, the most recent one would be the Seminole Heights killer that was, you know, kind of captivated the locals here and for, what, like a month?
Over a month span, and just the... horrifying, you know, everybody on edge, you know, one victim and hoping it was, which is terrible, any victim, but hopefully it's an isolated incident and we don't know why. Maybe they knew each other, maybe something.
Right.
Okay, maybe not. And then another, and then expands, and then another, and then what?
Yeah.
Just, I think everybody was on edge. The Tampa Police Department did a great job trying to make people be aware,
right?
Be concerned, be vigilant, pay attention. It was
but
just
even
a
the
crazy
media
thing.
Did a great job, you know, making sure that people were, you know, aware and you know, showing the coverage of the police presence that was in the neighborhood at the time. And I think they had a curfew, right?
They did.
Did they issue a curfew?
They did.
Yeah.
They were, and I know having you know worked in a couple of different things with. The, you know, officials, and you know, they have a lot to do to make it as safe as they can, and a lot of things that we don't know about, sometimes media knows that we can't share it, what have you. And I wasn't working in the business at this time, but I just know how they try to do what they can to make it safe. They want to make it safe, and they've got to figure out what it is and who could it be and all of that stuff. It's a lot, but people need to pay attention and help each other pay attention, do you know, and be vigilant in the curfews. And then I don't remember the exact time frame, but I know, you know, sometimes they've done like patrols in the neighborhoods, like everybody kind of, you know, needing to walk together collectively to the grocery store or home, if it was mostly a more foot patrol community than people who can drive cars. But then the fact that that person at the McDonald's who was handed that duffel bag, who just thought, and I'm just going by, you know, reports, maybe I should just see what's in it, because I don't know if that's quite the way it should have happened. You know, I don't know if I should not look in it, because I don't know, something they just gave her a weird feeling. And isn't that great that she, you know, if you see something, say something. So she had a gut feeling. She went with her gut or something. And it looked what it happened to be. And then she didn't just sit on it. She shared that, I don't know, because the I don't know could be the yes, that's what we're looking for. So it's those tips and nuggets of things that people see wherever they are in this world. Say something. Because that led to the capture. That ended that spree. People could be feeling safe again.
She probably saved the family, so many lives.
Totally.
Just by reporting it.
By reporting it, saying something. And then people could get a sense of peace and even a little bit of closure for the families who lost the loved ones. Because what a horrible.
Could you imagine?
Horrible situation. So many of those people were such giving people in the community. That were not targeted. They just were in the wrong place at the wrong time. It could happen to any of us.
So sad. And so scary.
So scary. That was awful.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Well, those ones made national headlines. Those were on national media. I know there's others, you know, they're obviously, you know, there's a lot of news. We could be here all day talking about news and stuff, but I know we're in a kind of a pinch for time. But I wanted to do something kind of fun before we before we quit here, because you're in, you know, you were in the media, you're in the news. We're gonna play what do you call it? Guess That Anchor.
Game. Okay. Sounds like a fun game.
So I'll play a short clip of them, and you will try and guess who it is.
Oh boy! Okay, here we go.
All right, we'll probably start out with a simple one here. Hopefully, you can hear it.
This is my last broadcast as the anchorman of the CBS Evening News.
That's
the way it
Bingo.
Is. Friday, March 6th, 1981.
One for one.
This is my last broadcast.
Do you want me to yell it out like that?
Yeah.
Do you want to pay get excited, a little bit of pause?
Okay. If you get excited about it. All right.
What a fun game. You're getting quizzed.
Astonishing news from East Germany.
Peter
where the
Denny.
East German authorities Bingo. Have said, in essence, that the Berlin Wall...
Oh, my God.
She's good. She got in like 1
you
second.
You are good.
1 second.
Those were easy ones.
What you are about to see is
Barbara.
Bizarre, unsettling, and...
All right.
No last name needed there.
Walters.
We got a a pro here.
We do.
But that's fun. That's fun.
Let's see.
Then there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Ooh, we got a stumper.
No, no. I know that. I know. That's all you're playing of him?
That's it.
Can you play it again?
Yes.
She's focusing on this one.
I know.
Then there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Yeah, you're so good.
All right. Let's see if we can throw you a tough one.
Here comes a curve.
Elvis Presley died today. He was 42. Apparently it was a heart attack. He was found at his home in Memphis, not breathing. His doctor pronounced him dead at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes, yes, yes.
She knows it.
Yes. You wouldn't repeat any that you've already showed or shared.
No, and this is going back.
I know, it's a seasoned. I can see him, I think. I think he was an ABC news anchor.
This was a tough one.
If you give me two choices, I can name it.
Two choices?
I can see him. Yep.
You want to give her a first name or a last name?
David.
David Brinkley? Yes, it was David Brinkley.
Oh, yay!
I was thinking of somebody else, but yeah, David Brinkley.
That was a tough one.
That was a hard one. Mm-hmm. I knew that was going to be a stumper because it's old, too.
Good evening. We'll be reporting tonight on a number of ongoing CBS News investigations. Racism in the ranks of the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
The final moments aboard a Boeing
7. So good. Holy cow.
And let's see. You probably get this one, too.
You know that as we sit here and talk,
Diane Sawyer.
Everybody watching this.
Oh, my God. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven of them you got.
Good morning, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. It is Wednesday, March 21st.
Jane Pauley.
And yeah. Overnight spring
arrived. God, you're good.
Cow.
Man, you're better at this than I thought.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Should have bet money on this.
Uh-oh, wait. That's not the right one.
I'm peeking at the answer here.
A new FBI study shows that for the first time, Americans are more likely to be killed by a stranger than a loved one or acquaintance. Their advice? Introduce yourself to as many people as possible.
You might have stumped me.
Oh, this one might not be fair.
Oh, no. Is this a local?
No.
From years ago?
It's a nighttime, I'll give you that. Weekly news report.
It's not one of the big networks.
Oh, it's a big network.
Not.
It's a huge network.
Broadcast network, I think. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, one more time, Rob.
A new FBI study shows that for the first time, Americans are more likely to be killed by a stranger than a loved one or acquaintance. Their advice? Introduce yourself to as many people as possible.
Either like a 2020 reporter or...
Not quite.
I'm going to give up.
Saturday Night Live. Norm MacDonald and the Weekly Report.
Okay. That was a hard one.
Okay.
I went back too. Like he.
That's funny.
Well, okay.
I would have not have gotten any of those, so I think you did pretty good.
You did very good.
Yes,
you got every single one. Every legitimate one you got.
Oh, that was awesome, Rob.
That was fun.
Making that fun game. That was cool.
That's good. Look at you, producer.
There we go.
Producer.
Uh-oh.
That's how you roll.
Rob's got a new career.
Get up.
That's fine.
Oh, my God.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
That's good. Fun. Well, thank you so much again, Maureen, for being here. Thank you for sharing your story and your business.
Thank you from the bagels.
Yeah,
from hole-in-one donuts.
We've got hole-in-one donuts, bagels. Thank you for that.
You guys, This Is Tampa is a great podcast. Way to go for you guys introducing people. Just thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Oh, well, really. We appreciate it. Oh, my
thank
gosh.
You. Hopefully you get back in this television producing thing, too.
Yeah. Hey,
there's a plan. We just follow our road, right?
Everything's meant to be. Right. Oh, my gosh. Thank you all so much for listening and for watching. Make sure you subscribe and review us, please. Five stars would be great.
Yeah.
We'll make sure we put Maureen's contact information in the video and on the podcast. And thank you all for watching. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. When I can't feel